Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift, the cycling app that makes training fun, because fun is fast. I'm Graham Wilgos, talking stage 10 of the Tour de France with a liberated Bradley Wiggins. We're out of quarantine, Brad.
Yes, we are. We're in Orange. It's nice to be on the race today, first day. And what a day it was.
What a day it was. Another little piece of history. I think you should say it. Because he's one of your oldest pals.
Mark's won again. Was that 33 now, isn't it?
33.
Brilliant. And
burdened with glorious purpose.
It looked so easy as well. I don't think anyone challenged him, really. The team, once again, I mean, the team were amazing for him, really were. We were driving to Decathlon yesterday. He rang me, didn't he? FaceTime me. You two were in the van. And he sounded in a right hole. You know, he was knackered. But he did state how much the team had rallied around him and got him through that stage the other day.
In the Alps, the stage to teen we're talking about, yeah.
And he gave his wet jersey to Tim de Klerk for his efforts.
That you ripped him for as well. Yeah. What does he want a smelly jersey for?
Yeah, as if he's not suffered enough. But I mean, it just shows you, like, he's so in love with that team and the team are in love with him, and it's paying dividends, isn't it? They really are the wolf pack, whatever that means.
I should say, with one or two bikes zipping past, that we're outside our hotel this evening. On bikes, Brad, before we go into how Cav did it today, you're back on the bike for Eurosport.
It was great. It really was. I saw I had a little chat with Cav out there. I saw lots of guys. I had a chat with everyone. It was nice to be back out there, all the old boys. Wadi was there. Durbo, Turbo, Zerbo, Lerbo.
In your Tom Hardy jacket.
I was from Tom Hardy. I was.
Did you enjoy it today?
I did enjoy it, yes. It's great. It's so exhilarating being in that peloton. It's the closest thing I'll have to coming back to riding in the peloton.
Yeah.
It's slightly easier as well. And it was just, it's just great. You know, but 2 years away, it's been too long, really, with the lockdown and with COVID. I love it. It's the best job in the world.
Yeah. I think it was a real pleasure actually to see you genuinely excited this morning. The first thing you did in the kitchen was tap me on the back and go, "Today's the day. Today's the day."
Yeah.
But I think we're all excited not only to get out after being quarantined for a week, but to be.
Yeah, you were excited as well, weren't you, Graham?
I was.
It's a great atmosphere being at the tour, isn't it?
There's a buzz quite unlike anything else, and being in that race village, it's sort of cycling Hollywood.
Yeah, and it's great. We caught up with Adam Blythe straight away. We had a few glasses of champagne.
I say cycling Hollywood. Of course, Adam Blythe is right in amongst it.
An old few old teammates, Tristan Valentin, Staff Sherlink. So I caught up with Andy Schleck, former tour winner.
Well, that's a lovely thing, sort of, especially for you. Everywhere you turned, there's
lots of riders, and everyone works there now that used to be riders. So it was great. It really was, and it's like that every day. You know, it's like a 2 week holiday camp. It's like being at Pontins when you were a kid, if you ever went to Pontins or Butley. And everywhere you go, you see the same people. Yeah. You become friends with them all.
Yeah,
it's a lovely thing. One thing I didn't notice today, actually, on the bike, which I noticed 2 years ago, was just the amount, way less British fans on the route. Because obviously people can't travel as much.
For obvious reasons, of course.
Yeah. but that is one. Other than that, it feels like a normal tour.
One of the things you said to me this morning was, you can't figure, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you can't figure out, looking back, how you did it.
No.
You can't believe that you won this race.
Not when I watch it now, no, because 5 years apart, 5 years since I stopped, but nearly 10 since I won the tour. And you watch them do it now, and I mean, it's such awe of what they do that you know, if you're away for something for long enough, you sort of question and wonder, God, how did I do that? You know, because I've said it many times, I was a different person, and I think that gets enforced every year that goes past, is that you know, you settle into normal life and you become very normalized, and you forget very quickly just the sacrifices it takes to get to the top and to be at that level, like the likes of G. I mean, G crashed again today, and it's savage, and you see it firsthand from the bike, just how hard it is. And it was like that all day today. Guys were sort of, you know, the hardest point in the stage today was probably the fourth category climb they had, where things got very nervous going through Chambéry and the speed went up, and then they stopped at the bottom of the climb. Lots of people stopped for a wee, Valverde and everyone, and that's where a lot of the sprinters were hanging on. And it just shows you those guys can just sail back up on the climbs, you know, and it was...
Shows you the difference.
Yeah, it shows the difference. And it's... I've ridden my bike a couple of times in the last couple of years, and you think you're going all right, and you think, you know, but it's when you see it firsthand again, I'm reminded very, very quickly just how enormous the level is and the differences between, you know, riding around Richmond Park and riding around, like, Tour de France. They're immense athletes, they really are.
Mm. The level that De Koenig brought to the party today to go to Quick-Step was something else too. I mean, Cav said at the end there that he barely had to do anything because they dropped him off with 150 metres to go.
It was textbook, wasn't it? It really was.
He said as much as well. Again, in his post-race interview, it was like something out of a cycling magazine. If you were to read how to do the perfect lead-out.
And it was, and they've got it down to a T now. I think his only saving grace is that Colbrelli wasn't there, although Colbrelli probably wouldn't have challenged him in the sprint. But for that green jersey, I think Colbrelli was going really well. He had a bike problem 20K to go, something like that.
He punctured.
Punctured, was it? Yeah, because I was quite far back. I couldn't see it, but I did see the remnants of it. Lots of crashes again today.
Mm.
Quite a few big ones as well. G went down, Luke Rowe went down,
I think Richie went down hardest by the looks of things.
There was a nasty crash that I was just behind. Marge Perry from Denmark went down.
Yeah.
Julien Simon, he went down. He really cut his arm quite bad.
Does it get harder as the race goes on to pick yourself up and go again?
I think so many people are tired. Yeah. And lots of heads were down today. Yeah, it was a tough old day. And they're the toughest days, some days like that, because it's not hard enough that you're going to get dropped because it's on the flat most of the time, but it's just niggly, and it's more of a head.
A tough old day, largely because at the end there of how De Koenig really drove on the front. Let's hear how it ended up. Here's how Rob Hatch called it for us on Eurosport and GCN Plus.
Week two on the way with a bang. We've had the win, we've had the chaos. It's back together at the front. It looks as though it's going to be a sprint to the line. Mark Cavendish on 32 stage victories, looking to get one closer to Eddy Merckx. On the right-hand side, Arkea Samsic looking for their first victory in the red jersey. Nasser Bouhanni, who's had a second place, is up there as well. 600 metres to go now. Remember, in 250 metres from here, it kicks right and you've got to be inside the first three or four positions. Up there too is Wout van Aert. Look out for the Belgian champion. Behind Jasper Philipsen, also from Belgium. Peter Sagan is there as well. Here is that right turn. Cavendish is in prime position. Third position as he's led into it. He has Mirko in front of him. Cavendish in the green jersey. Here they come from the line. The wind coming from the line as we look at it. It's Cavendish there. But coming around on the left-hand side in the red jersey, Nasser Bouhanni. Cavendish still at the front. Now Cavendish hits the front in the green jersey. Cavendish going all the way. Cavendish there, but here comes Wout van Aert. Here comes Wout van Aert. It's Cavendish though. It's Cavendish. Hard work, sacrifice, belief, and Cavendish makes it 33 with another chapter to the fairy tale. And if we weren't talking about that record before, we certainly will now. Absolutely enthralling. He's smiling yet again, and with every reason, Sean.
One of the things that shows you just how strong De Koenig were today, Brad, is that Michael Morkov finished sixth in the sprint. I mean, they were effectively just outgunning everybody else, so there was no chance for anyone to come up and over the top.
Yeah.
I think partly because Wout van Aert, who finished second today, was obviously eyeing up a little bit of redemption for Jumbo-Visma.
Yeah, and I think he's come out of the GC now, hasn't he? So he needs to... They need to do something in this race now, don't they, really? They've been inundated with bad luck. The GC aspirations are almost over, other than the young fellow who's up there in the top 10 somewhere, isn't he, in the white jersey, is that right?
Vingegaard.
I think Van Aert's certainly looking for something out of this race, and stage wins is now he's got to start looking at this second. He's clearly in good form, and I wonder if he took his foot off the gas the other day in the mountains and in an attempt to try and win a stage. It was a very somber attitude, sort of mood in the peloton today towards the back. You know, I chatted to a few riders, a few faces. Cobrelli was quite laughing, joking towards me, but a lot of the DSs were in sort of deep conversation at times with a lot of the riders. There was a lot of talking going on. It was very. It wasn't an easy day for him. When you sort of notice it when
you
saw
the
like
race
that.
Fracture towards the end as well in the wind because
very quickly
again, because the pace was so hot on the front that you saw. Two groups, and then two groups became three.
Yeah.
And I think the guys in the third group would have done well to get back on and even contest the finish there.
Yeah. Pogacar was stuck in the second group, from what I understand, as well.
A little moment of panic for him, I think.
Yeah.
He got back on pretty quick. But again, you know, you sort of saw Ineos or Carapaz trying to take their chances where they could, just to test him.
Yeah. It seems to be the wrong moment, though, doesn't it? You know, it's all a bit too sort of late in the day at the wrong times as well. But, you know, it's bike racing, isn't it? And that's what they've got to do. They've got to try every day. But he kept his cool, which was what I was most impressed about by him today. He didn't panic. He used his teammates up and they got back. And those things happen. It just shows you that, you know, a stage starts and we have wins like that. It's a different day. So they were lucky and fortunate that it came towards the end.
Mm. Cav, undoubtedly now the fastest man in the race.
Yeah. In the world, would you say? He's reclaimed his number one spot.
If you're the fastest man in the biggest bike race in the world, are you by definition the fastest man in the world?
I mean, there's probably Sam Bennett missing, isn't he? His absence. Caleb Ewan. But you know, it doesn't matter. You can only beat who's there. And Cav's done a sterling job. And I think there's not a person in the peloton who's not delighted for him. He's different gravy.
Four more, by my calculation, sprint stages that Cav could win. So he could leave this tour without getting ahead of ourselves. He could leave with seven.
He could. He very much could. But I think with every stage that goes past as well, Cav will be the first to say the damage that he does in those sprints is a lot. Tomorrow's a tough day for him. He's now got to refocus on tomorrow very quickly, isn't he?
Brad, we're sponsored by Zwift, the cycling app where fun is fast but also unlocks performance. I'm a big fan getting on there with the boys, David and Stephen, as you know.
Yeah.
I've been exploring a few of the training plans.
Oh yeah, tell me about it.
Well, training plans on Zwift help you improve every single time. I'm currently on board with G's training plan. Geraint Thomas, fun is flying uphill.
I bet that's a tough one.
It's not easy. This workout focuses on improving your muscular endurance, a pillar of any great time trialist like you, Brad, mountain climber or stage racer, to help you deal with hard surges and improve your ability to fly uphill.
Well, that's quite good, Graham. And do you find it's helping you improve?
Helps you improve just because it's so easy to use. And if you want to find out just how simple that is, there's a special offer, a 7-day free trial. Find out more, download the app today.
Let's talk about tomorrow. The double ascent of Ventoux.
Yeah.
It's a long day as well. Nearly 200 kilometres.
Yeah. It comes thick and fast.
Sorge to Molassine. Molassen, sorry. Podcast Pete is giving me the chef's kiss. Thanks, Pete. I'm not sure pronunciation was that good. Double ascent of Ventoux without a summit finish.
Yeah. I mean... It's going to be extremely tough tomorrow. Mont Ventoux. It's epic Mont Ventoux, isn't it? It's
storied and pretty much the most legendary mountain.
Yeah.
In cycling history, I would say. It's my favourite. Without overdoing it.
It's like being on the moon when you're up there.
Yeah.
It's quite something. The landscape and the famous Mistral wind that blows through that region. Twice up it, it's going to be a tough day for the guys, and you know, for the likes of Cav, they've really got to get themselves together again, because like we say, if he wants to win seven, he's got to get through those, and he knows that himself. You know, he saw the Alpine stage the other day as the toughest one. So
does the fact that it's not a summit finish tomorrow favour Cav, favour him getting through, because we saw how quickly he was descending on that.
I mean, he's
a
great descender, Cav, and he can make up a lot of time on there, so yeah, I think that does suit them. You can't, I mean, I can only see Podjakar going again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other thing we can, you know, I mean, unless the likes of G, Richie, Carapaz, they get themselves together, and this second week is, lots of riders are going to ride themselves in this second week. And I don't think it's a done deal per se. I mean, there's time for things to change. We've still got best part 2 weeks of this race left.
Mm. What would you like to see tomorrow? To make the GC that little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to try something different other than the usual sort of just sending Carapaz up the road on a sort of, you know, I think. But then, what do they do? That guy's so strong. He's on a different level in the mountains, don't they? But there's not many people that can muster. I think the racing almost takes... It's a case of isolate. Need to isolate him and need to get rid of a lot of the UAE guys. But they're a strong team at the moment. It's very difficult to do that. So it's such a tough one because...
You've got to hope that he has a bad day.
Yes.
And
I think you have to probably put him under difficulty early.
Yeah, and at the same time, Carapaz has a good day, maybe.
And it's a shame G's not closer on just classification because they've got options then, but they don't really have options. It's just Carapaz.
Yeah, who is five minutes plus behind.
And I think that's the problem they're going to face this next 2 weeks is they've got one option. And it's hard because you're not playing a numbers game with him. So a man of man, he'll always outdo Carapaz at the moment, Podjakar. Mm. So it's very difficult for him. So UAE, I expect to just ride the... I mean, what we could see is not going full gas up the first ascent of Vontu. Who knows? But I mean, I imagine a lot of people want to get out there and try and go for a stage win. So I can see a lot of riders going up the road tomorrow that are out of the GC because the gaps are so big. And then a whittling down process behind UAE riding up to the last climb, and then Pogacar maybe trying to have a go. But it's obviously we go over 2,000 metres tomorrow as well, which starts to make a difference for everyone. Mm. Iran could have a good day tomorrow. It's good territory for Iran. He's a guy that I'd like to see probably push out the envelope a bit more. He's been up there in the Giro, he's been up there in the Tour a couple of times.
You've got your podium, take a risk, mate.
But Sean Kelly said it the other day, you know, he's a follower.
Yeah.
And he does, you know, he's always sort of quite content to just follow and finish second or third on the podium. And I'd love to, he's a great guy, where I race with him at Sky. I'd love to see him just have a go one day because they've got good numbers, Education First.
EF, yeah.
You know, they've got a good bunch of climbers. And if anyone could muster a challenge for the GC, it could be them.
Tomorrow could be the day. We wait to see with bated breath. On a personal note, you're looking forward to being up there again, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, Vontu, I think, means a lot to you on a personal level.
Yeah, from a Tom Simpson point of view, yeah, which I'll explain a lot about tomorrow. But yeah, it's always a very, very humbling experience for me riding up there and driving up there. And I always spare a thought for Tom.
Are you going to take anything up and leave it at the Tommy Simpson Memorial? Or,
no,
or are you going to tell us about that tomorrow?
Just my heart.
Just your heart. All right. Yeah. I like that. Brad, thank you. That's where we'll leave it for this episode of The Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. Brought to you by Zwift. Explore, train and compete on a cycling app where fun is fast. Brad, look forward to you being back on the bike tomorrow. Before you do, we should say thank you to our producer, Pete Burton. And you can follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Download, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts. From me, Graham Wilgos, and Brad, we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.